Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to one more episode of the Video Games Now Podcast, episode 19. My name is Rodney, and I'm joined by Will.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
And via Skype, I almost said it again, via Mark, we have Skype.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
All right, today we'll be discussing Battlefields and a few other games that are coming out in 2018, and we're also going to talk about something a little more fun. It's going to be some games that we play when we're a little intoxicated, and the fun that we have and the stories that we have, and I'm sure Will and Mark have more than me because I don't drink too much, but
look forward to it.
All right, it's going to be great. Everything's coming up right now. All right, Battlefield. Last one that came out was in 2016, Battlefield 1. And Mark and Will, you both have not played this game, is that correct?
Yeah, I never got around to it. It's one of the games still on my list. I know you've kind of been bugging me for a little while to pick it up. So maybe it'll be something I'll pick up in the next little bit. Just got to get a bit more work.
I played the original Battlefield. I didn't own it or anything, so I played it at a friend's house. But that's as far as my extent of playing Battlefield has goes.
Yeah, have you, Will, have you played any... What's the last Battlefield that you played?
I played the crap out of 4. Multiplayer on 4 was just amazing, and I really loved the story. The campaign just was beautiful.
Oh, I totally just forgot about Battlefield Hardline. I guess that was also one.
Hardline for multiplayer sucked, but yeah. I really did enjoy the story because it gave you a kind of... Well, there's a lot of twists and turns I wasn't expecting right off the bat with corruption and stuff, so it was a great game.
That's kind of surprising because Battlefield isn't really known for its story-driven game. It's kind of similar to Battlefront, where Star Wars Battlefront, where it's all multiplayer.
Well, Battlefield 1 kind of changed that. Battlefield 1 was amazing. The campaign was really, really good. It took you through, like, it wasn't another FPS where it's like, oh, we're in World War II, we're taking the beach, okay, all right, grab your gun, just kill some people, whatever. Like, they made it about the people that fought in World War I. So it was you said most of them weren't story-driven, but Battlefield 1 was definitely story-driven in terms of the campaign. So you had to play through each one of these missions as a character, and you're learning the story, and you're learning the people around them and what they went through and all that kind of stuff. And it was based on real-world events, too. So, it was a lot of fun.
Was that better than when Call of Duty tried to do World War II?
Oh, hell yeah.
They did a World War game, and I remember that, where you had to take the beach, Normandy, and it was exactly like you said. It was like, all right, grab a gun, try not to get shot, make it to this checkpoint. That's cool that they kind of went like, who was fighting in the war?
The one thing I remember from Call of Duty 2 is Jason Statham was a voice actor. That is like the only thing I remember because that game was just very forgettable.
Really? Jason Statham was a voice actor in a Call of Duty game?
I think it was either 2 or the original, but yeah, he was on one of the first 2 Call of Duties, and I didn't really, they weren't big on my like favorite list back then. I think 3 is kind of where I started picking up back into the Battlefield series, and 4 really got me into the multiplayer aspect, which I guess I didn't really carry on to because Battlefield Hardline was like a dud. And I just haven't picked up Battlefield 1 yet.
I didn't mind the campaign of Hardline myself. I did like how, because I've always wanted a cops and robbers type of game, and that's exactly what it was. And then there's, spoiler alert for those who haven't played it, it came out like 2015. So, but yeah, like when you get flipped onto the convict side, it's like, oh shit. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, the campaign was the only good thing. I remember when they first announced it at E3, and they were showing off that cops and robbers mode, and people using like the I can't remember what they're called, but the lines to like run like escape buildings and stuff.
Parkour?
Not the parkour, but you know, like the zip lines.
Oh, zip lines. Yeah.
It looked really good and more immersive and whatnot. But I remember when I first picked up Battlefield Hardline. Didn't even start the campaign. I wanted to play the multiplayer because I was so interested, and I did not last very long. It was one of those things. I played like a couple matches, and I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'm gonna take a break and start some story."
Yeah, that was me too. And I quit the multiplayer quite early on Hardline, but the multiplayer on Battlefield 1 was again amazing. I told Will about it off the air, Mark, but I'll tell you now. So it's 64 players. They get thrown in a map, and there's 32 people per team. And
in Battlefield,
in Battlefield, yeah, it's called Operate. Yeah,
so,
it's called.
Sorry to cut you off. This wasn't this the original? Like this started like this was around before Star Wars Battlefront was, wasn't it? It started like the big room kind of multiplayer.
I'll bring it back to Rodney, but just to go on to that, Battlefront, well, we have Battlefield and then Battlefront. I'm pretty sure the original Battlefront wasn't actually done, like the Star Wars Battlefront, Mark, by DICE. It was another company. I'm pretty sure it was BioWare, but I could be mistaken. I should look that up right now, but DICE picked up the license 2015 with... the Disney acquisition when Disney bought Star Wars. Okay. And that's pretty much where like DICE took over the license, but it changed a lot from, well, they tried to like, if we played the Battlefield 1 a little bit and we played Battlefield 2, basically they tried to emulate and keep the same style as the original developers used, but it just didn't it didn't really work as well as I think they hoped.
Okay, so yeah. So, but they were kind of the pioneers of like the big multiplayer rooms.
Yeah, so looking up this right now, Rodney just showed me the original developers of the original Battlefront back in 2004 were Pandemic Studios.
Okay.
But anyways, back to Battlefield
1. Yeah, sorry to cut you off there.
But yeah, so what... what operations is 64 players, 32 per side, and there's 3 or 4 different sections, and there's 2 separate maps of these sections. So one team's attacking and one team's defending. So basically the first section, the advancing team starts with nothing, and the defending team has to defend each section by defending key points in that section. And the other team's advancing and they're capturing and all this kind of stuff. But it's World War I stuff, right? So there's like mustard gas. So if there's mustard gas, you gotta throw your like gas mask on. And there's zeppelins, there's tanks, there's planes, there's bombers. Like you can pilot all those things, right? So it's really, really, really cool. And
these maps, obviously, yeah, have all those vehicles.
Yeah, it's
64 people.
Yeah, it's really, really big. And you're what this is how it's kind of measured on how you're doing is at the very top of the thing, it'll say your army has like 1,000 people, and when you die, you use one of those lives. So like collectively, the 32 of you are sharing 1,000 lives.
Yeah. So, wow. That sounds awesome.
Actually. Yeah, it's really, really, really fun. And then when you're defending's really hard because it's really easy to advance but when you die in Battlefield 1, it's like, yes, I deserve to die. I should not have walked out in the open and gotten shot by, you know, any whatever.
Sniper.
Whereas in Call of Duty, sometimes people just cheese it, and it's just, I just find, like, how the hell did I die? Like, you don't understand it. But in Battlefield 1, it's like, yes, I died.
That was the always two differences between Battlefield and, like, Call of Duty felt like it wasn't kind of real, whereas Battlefield, like, felt more real. Like, you cherished every one of those lives.
Absolutely. And then the physics are also more realistic than Call of Duty. Call of Duty is just point and shoot, Battlefields, you gotta take into account, you know, bullet drop rate and where they're moving and all that crap, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I saw someone had a fan-made trailer and for Battlefield 1, and it looked really, really good. But, yeah. So, there's a new Battlefield coming out this year in 2018, probably late 2018, but there hasn't been really any new information on it yet. But there's a couple rumors, or there's rumors that it's going to go to World War II and all this kind of stuff. So Battlefield reportedly set in World War II called Battlefield 5. Oh, yay. So, yeah, no, I'm excited. I just want a World War One or Battlefield 1, 2.
Yeah, and you know what? I'd definitely pick it up. It's the multiplayer alone seems worth it.
Yeah, there's one map on Battlefield 1. I was telling Will, it's like Sniper Alley. So there's like there's maybe like 20 people actually fighting like with like rifles and stuff, and then everyone else is like sniping, but the sniping on that level is super hard to get into a good spot where you won't be seen. Like you're really far away, like you're probably 500-600 meters away from everybody. So you really gotta like take your shots or take a second before you shoot to make sure that you're all lined up.
Yeah.
Also, I'm reading a little report here. It says EA has already confirmed the next Battlefield would be coming in 2018, and it will also be playable at their E3 showcase in the beginning of June. However, a World War II setting comes in contrast to the other rumor that was from December that claimed the next Battlefield would also be Bad Company 3 set in Vietnam.
Interesting.
Ooh, so which is it?
Hard to say. We'll just have to wait to E3 and see what's going to happen.
Yeah, we're in that calm area, or the calm media.
Calm before the storm.
Yeah, the calm before the storm with the media, because everyone's all hush hush before E3, right? So
yeah, this is where all the NDAs are taking effect. Anyone that speaks is pretty much fired. So E3
this is where socks are going to get blown off, pretty much, gentlemen.
Yeah, and your wallets are about to be empty.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
PAX tickets go on sale soon, so.
Oh, yeah, more money right there.
We already got our hotel booked, because you don't wait for that. No. We've been screwed over a couple years in a row, so we'd had to walk like 50 minutes to go back to our hotel room and drop off our stuff. So
that wasn't even the worst part. It was the bed. The bed last year was horrible. I think I slept on a comfortable rock before.
What about the food?
Oh, the food.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, the food is
good. I love the food. Come on.
Well, yeah, and the Canadian and the American health regulations are totally different, so there's lots of stuff that the states put in the food that are banned in Canada, so our bodies aren't used to it. So we go down there and eat convention food out of all stuff, and we just get wrecked. Oh yeah, it was a bad time. Bad time. We had the only thing we didn't get sick at was sushi, because
sushi was good.
We eat sushi here all the time.
Yeah, so. You can't screw that up. Like, what else preservatives are you gonna put in sushi? Actually, I don't even want to know that.
Well, they have to put like something on the fish to make it safe to eat or whatever. I can't remember what that stuff's called because I'm not a sushi chef or whatever. I can cook, but I can't make sushi. I can barely make. I can't make rice. Well, it's got to be Minute Maid rice.
For Rodney's wedding gift, I'll give him a sushi kit.
Sushi kit.
He'll become a pro by the end of the year.
Yeah, and then we can take it with us to PAX, and we won't get sick. All right.
Back on topic, though. What do you want to see in the next Battlefield, Rodney?
I kind of briefly talked about this with Cole, Yeah, you and Cole and Mark were both there. But yeah, like it was a 100-person thing, but so it's 50 per side, but you need to have like one defined leader, and he's giving orders to all the other troops. So he has a map in front of him, and he says, you know, this team go here and do this, this team go here and do this, and he's kind of like the master maker or whatever. And then there's people with boots on the ground actually achieving all these things. And then there's like a fighter, like a air unit and a sea unit or something like that. It's a huge coordinated thing. Like I'm trying to think of a
coordinated. I get what you're saying. You want to have one general looking at a map with different objectives to complete an overall mission, and you are the location manager of it all, and you have to pretty much. Hopefully, like, the orders you tell your troops to do, they will get them done in the air. Like, oh, we need to take this refinery because we're going to get extra. And if you take something, you get a bonus. Your troops get a bonus.
Yeah. And
this sounds great.
Yeah, it sounds good. And what I really want in a FBS game is, like, as you level up, you gain ranks. But, like, all the ranks are doing is like, oh, that guy's a general, he's played lots of this game, but why don't we make those ranks have actual meaning? So like, you can't be a general and be at that map and making all the different decisions until you're actually a general, right? Like, so that'll inspire people to play the game and then progress through the levels to get to general so that they can play on the map.
The only thing I could think of that would hinder this game is people not wanting to have that role. That was the only thing, because that's probably like the main. If you get up there to do that, and then like, how many people are actually going to want to do? I guess you could have an NPC doing it as well.
Yeah, I suppose like there can be an AI fallback, I think people like, I would want to do that role. That role sounds cool, but then again, you'll get tired.
That sounds cool.
You'll get tired after a while. And you'll want to be boots on the ground, you know, making
boots
it all
on
happen.
The ground, just yeah, exactly.
But
yeah.
If you have a really bad general, like that's making all the bad decisions, or a troll general, like that'll be just awful.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That would. Yeah.
So, but like, this game doesn't exist. But if Battlefield later this year comes out and it has this mode, if the developers at DICE are listening, that's what we want.
Why doesn't this game exist? That sounds awesome. That's like a game that every time you play, there's going to be a different outcome. You could have so many different missions, different objectives that you have to complete. And I can see these games going for like 2-3 hours.
Yeah, well, yeah. One game would probably be like an hour. It'd be really cool. Yeah. And here's
the life limit on it, or do we just leave it where you have to complete the objectives and wipe out the other team?
I think wipe out, like capture either the enemy general or something like that. But I think what you could do something similar to Battlefield 1, where you have a total life, like so maybe you have 2,000 lives and you're sharing that between all 50 players.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then on top of that, you're looking at your map. You know where all your troops are, but you don't know where the enemy troops are until somebody on the ground spots them, and they're like, "Hey, there's enemies here." And then they show up on the map, and you're like, "Oh, okay, so let's do this." So then you can, and then as you see, so you can have a scout like jeep like going ahead and finding out where everybody is, because then you can make an efficient plan, or have somebody fly over in a helicopter and check it all out, find out where all the troops are. And then you can make an official plan. Man. Yeah.
Oh, and then you have like different, like you said, different divisions. You have the recon division that like explores the map for you, and then you got boots on the ground, and you got the general.
Yeah, but it's the only.
Let's go.
Yeah, I know, right? But then we're running into problems on who's like, maybe you don't want to be recon, but there's only recon spots available. It's like, damn it.
Yeah. That's the only problem there is, who wouldn't want, like, you need all three, but some people might not never want to do recon.
Yeah, it's really restricting. Like, a lot of people want to just do what they want to do, and this is really restricting the gameplay for some people, right? Because some people are like, I only snipe, and if there's no sniper spots available, then they're not going to want to play that match. They're going to want to find another one until they find a snipe spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what I want. Will, what are your thoughts on this?
I agree. I think that would be really cool game mode. It would take a lot of coding, though. And like you said, figuring out who the general would be the hardest thing.
Not even the general, just all the positions, you know? But I mean, yeah, it would definitely take a lot of planning. Like, we're kind of having a table meeting about this game right now. We have no funding and no developers.
Yeah.
Hey, that's okay. If any developers are listening, feel free to steal this idea.
Yeah, totally. I only want you to listen to our podcast. I don't need any money.
Hey, if they're going to steal an idea, I'm still wanting them to steal the Pokemon MMO.
Yeah. Totally. Okay, moving on to our other topics here. So, actually, what's in the news, Will? You were talking earlier about some stuff.
I want to go over one quick thing. I think Mark will be happy. There's actually a World Video Game Hall of Fame. And the previous inductees include Donkey Kong, Doom, Grand Theft Auto 3, Halo, Legend of Zelda, The Oregon Trail, Pac-Man, Pokemon Red and Green, Pong, The Sims, Sonic the Hedgehog, Space Invaders, Street Fighter 2, Super Mario Bros., Tetris, and the World of Warcraft.
So these to me are like revolutionary games almost.
That is basically the requirement.
Every game on that list is incredible. Like, even for their time. Like, there was a time the Sims were dominating.
Man, Pong in the 70s was like the cat's ass.
Yeah.
That was basically Pong. Like the very first video game. If we go back, that's what it's basically called.
What about Pac-Man?
Yeah, Pac-Man's on there.
Yeah, it was just there. After the Oregon Trail, which I was talking about Rodney before. I was like, the only thing I remember about Oregon Trail was in elementary school playing that on the computer.
Right? Do you remember the 3D Pac-Man they had for Sega? Where it was like an actual Pac-Man world and you had missions and stuff?
Was that the Dreamcast or...?
No, it wasn't. It was the Sega, I believe.
No, Sega was Dreamcast.
Yes, 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 but it was on the Sega Genesis.
Was it the Genesis?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had it and I played it, and I remember it being on the Genesis. Or yeah. Genesis.
I remember not liking that game.
What?
I don't know, I just was like, I don't know. I just would rather play the 2D Pac-Man than the 3D one.
Oh, no, not at all. I liked it. It was cool.
Well, because like it kind of, in a way, changed the dynamics. Like, if you look, I'm going to use Mario as an example. Like, the original Mario, it's a 2D side-scroller. You're jumping around on you know. But when we switched to 3D, the premise of the game didn't really change. We're just in the third dimension. But with Pac-Man, it was, like, totally different for me. So that's kind of why I didn't like it.
Yeah, I kind of understand that a little bit as they tried to change Pac-Man into more of an RPG than...
I kind of agree with that, but they were trying to evolve Pac-Man and make him into like a like Donkey Kong, like a platformer kind of thing.
Yeah, but I think their plan there just crashed and burned really hard, and that's why we don't really see Pac-Man that much anymore.
That's true. They tried to make him a thing. Didn't happen.
Yeah. They need to make another 2D Pac-Man, but with like 3D depth in it, and for like the 3DS or whatever. And I guess they can't make it on Nintendo because it's for Sega. But, make it interesting. I don't know.
But back onto topic, they announced the inductees for 2018, and they include Space War, which I've never heard of. Have you guys heard Space War at all?
I've never heard of Space War.
Yeah. Nah. The original John Madden football.
Oh, Madden's getting into the Hall of Fame. Nice.
The original Tomb Raider. And Mark, Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, it's about time. How is the GOAT not in the Hall of Fame yet? Come on.
GOAT, eh? Greatest of all time.
All time.
Such a fanboy right there.
What did he say? GOAT?
Yeah.
How is the GOAT not in the Hall of Fame already?
Oh.
Greatest of all time. GOAT.
Greatest of all time, not as a Hall of Fame.
I thought you were talking about like the Goat Simulator. Like, why is Goat Simulator not in the Hall of Fame? What is this? What is going on?
Oh man, that would be horrible.
Awesome.
I can't believe that's a thing though. Goat Simulator, like it's apparently really fun and really funny, but yeah.
Have you seen some of the simulators they have? Like, I was looking at on the Xbox Game Pass, and there's Farming Simulator.
Yeah, we talked about this last time. It's called Heyday.
Or Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one game, though, I was looking at the Game Pass, and I just want to bring up and mention a little bit, because it was a game I kind of grew up with, is Cities. Do you guys remember Cities?
Did that become SimCity?
No, it's where you develop a city. Like, you remember you did the buildings?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
No, cities
it's
was
a different
yeah, it was a different type of thing. Like, you don't you don't interact with the characters, I guess, but you create a whole vibrant city. Like, you build buildings, power lines, airports.
That was like, for me, that was called either SimCity. There was SimCity 2000, SimCity 3000, and then there was one called SimTown, which was really above all my favorite.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look that up. But I was looking, and there's City Skyline, and it actually looked really interesting on the Game Pass, which I might download. And then they have a DLC for it, which is called Natural Disasters.
It's like an RTS.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Damn it, Mark. Now I want to play SimCity.
Oh, you know what? And you know, that's another... They should be in the... Well, I guess they are for The Sims, but... Back before The Sims was around, there was, yeah, like I said, SimCity, SimTown, Sim Roller Coaster Tycoon, and then there was Sim Doctor. Like, oh, those games were everywhere.
Peanut Butter Gamer has on YouTube has a video where he's playing Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, I think it was, and he's like, he just made a death park. I mean, I'm sure everybody did this, but yeah, it was really funny. I like Peanut Butter Gamer. He doesn't make too many videos anymore, though.
Probably aged. Well, got other things to do.
Yeah, he was kind of... he kind of released a video and was like, yeah, I'm kind of done. But, I mean, he didn't say those words, but that's kind of the message I got from him, unfortunately. He still makes videos occasionally, but it's not like his full-time gig now.
All right, how about we get back to... go to our main topic and have a little bit of fun. Games that we play... when we are intoxicated.
Yep. And I wish Brian was here, the guy we had for a couple podcasts ago for the God of War podcast. He's a heavy drinker.
He's drinking every time I play with him.
Yeah, I was playing Fortnite with him last night. He was hammed. He's
I mean, you guys were playing Fortnite last night?
Yeah. He's super vulgar when he's drunk. Like, super, like, not even, like, rated R is like rated G for his humor.
Hey, Rodney, mention what you told me, because he ordered beer and pizza last night.
Yeah, so last night I was playing with BJCMS and Brian, and he's like, hey, Brandon, you want to get some pizza and beer? That was actually a good Brian impression. Yeah. Holy. They're like, sure. So like half an hour later, they're knocking on the door. Brandon gets up, gets the pizza. And then I'm like, oh, Brian, are you going to go get the beer soon? And he's like, what? I don't get the beer. It gets delivered to me. Skip the dishes, bud. And he was, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that they delivered beer. He's like, oh, it's the best thing ever. I never have to leave my house. But yeah, so there's a couple games that I play when I'm drunk, specifically Drunk Mario Kart.
Well, we've done this one a couple times at your place, Rodney. Yeah. Especially with some of our close work colleagues.
I seem to hold myself together on Drunk Mario Kart. Mark, were you over for this one? I can't remember.
I don't think so, but that's probably because you don't get that drunk.
No, I was right. I was done. But I hit my limit. Like, I know exactly when to stop drinking to like not get hungover and not get just
Mark.
Yeah.
You know, Rodney doesn't drink beer, so he likes his like Mike's Hard Root beers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we were doing it that we had to take a drink or a glass, right, while we were doing a race. So yeah. He basically chugged a whole like can before he started the race.
Well, yeah, that's the rules of Drunk Mario.
No,
like, my friends have played several times.
You gotta basically before the end of the race, you gotta finish your drink.
Finish your drink.
Yeah, but so you cannot drink and drive.
But you can't drink and drive. Yeah, so you either have to pull over.
Yeah.
While you're racing, but who wants to do that? So that's bravo. He found the strategy to winning that.
But let me finish, right? Everyone else, well, I was doing the same thing as him, which kind of got me a little more over than I wanted to be, because I did lemonade, I think. I can't remember. But everyone else put their beer or their drink in like a glass. So they were only filling like the glass half full. Rodney and I didn't really think about that. So we were chugging full cans before every race.
Yeah. So like they put their cans of beer or whatever into a cup, which was a lot smarter because I could drink a cup of beer.
Yeah.
I basically shotgunned that can, but I didn't have time to do all the work to shotgun a can.
But, but you pretty much did.
Yeah.
Harder because there's like less air is getting out of the can.
Dude, it's root beer. Like I chugged a whole can of frickin' root beer, basically.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Oh man, the burn. The burn was brutal. But that's the best strategy is to just chug it all right at the beginning because then you're in last place and then you get all the good weapons and then because if you're in first, what I used to do is do the whole race in first. Stop at the finish line, chug my drink, and then do the finish. But what always happens was I got blue shelled and I got screwed. So I just stopped doing that strategy real quick.
Yeah, at least if you're in the last place, you can maybe get a rocket.
Yeah, the bullet bill. The bullet bill really helps.
Yeah.
What about Mark? What's your favorite game to play when you're a little not sober?
Me and my friends always liked playing NHL or NBA or Madden. NHL was always fun to play. I always have I usually have a couple friends over, and when we're drinking beers, and then we either do like the 3-on-3, or just play full games, and we'll kind of get like a tournament going. So loser passes, or I'll play, or we'll do just a little tournament. That's always fun.
Sounds fun. Is there any drinking games associated with that or no?
If you get scored on, you chug a beer. If you dangle the guy that got burned. Has to chug a beer, just little things like that.
That seems pretty tame compared to the other, Smash Bros. I mean, is another one that you play when you're drinking.
How do you do Smash Bros.
Drinking? Oh, buddy,
there's so many different ones you can do. But let Rodney read some rules.
So the general, yeah, there's so many rules. I'm not gonna read them all, but I'll read. So the general rules is drink when you get KO'd, and if you're playing a stock match, if you wait until the revival platform disappears automatically, then you gotta drink again. If you get a legendary in a Pokeball, you take a drink. And if you get a Goldeen in a Pokeball, everyone else takes a drink. That's funny.
Oh,
and if a Goldeen came from a Master Ball, everyone takes two drinks. If the crowd chants your name, everybody else drinks because you're awesome. And if you're playing as Dark Pit, take a sympathetic drink for his sake while the others take theirs. if you use a Smash Ball, drink. If you fail to KO anyone with your Smash Ball, drink again. If you somehow manage to suicide after using your final Smash, drink again. It just goes on and on and on and on. Basically, one match in your tank.
I see a lot of pausing in this game. So, you need to be drinking.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be right racked.
Yeah. Sanic. There's lots of little jokes with characters in here. Take a drink for any Sanic joke you see. Take an extra drink if Sonic is not even fighting and you see one. Oh, yeah. This could go on and on and on for sure. But, and you get really vulgar when you're drunk, obviously. So Smash Bros. Is, even more competitive. You can't lose. Another one that you play when you're drunk is Mario Party, because now that all your friends are over, it's time to lose them. So yeah, Mario Party's good, but you got a story about Mario Party or no?
I don't really have a big story on Mario Party, but I am gonna mention one thing. You can get totally tanked on that just from a first couple of games, because the way I used to play it with my friends is. The only person that didn't have to drink a drink was the person that finished first. So the other three guys would basically be drinking constantly. And it's one of those things where you can wake up the next day, not remember what happened, but you can't feel your fingers. There's no skin left.
Yeah, it's just all raw hand from that tug of war mini game.
But you don't even remember it.
Man, the one thing that makes me so furious about Mario Party is when you're playing, there's the one mini game. I think there's a couple different versions of it, but there's basically a big flower, and you have to stand on, there's lava or water or something beneath it, and you have to stand on the one pedal that isn't going down into the lava, and you're always playing against Wario or DK, the two fattest characters there, and you can't fit on the freaking flower pedal because there's no room left. So, yeah.
I sort of remember that one.
Yeah, that's just infuriating to me. Oh, yeah, Wii Sports.
Ooh, drunk Wii Sports.
Drunk Wii Sports. It's always bowling. It's never anything else.
I don't know. I did do tennis once with my one of my exes, drunk tennis. That was an interesting one. But the one thing I always associate with Wii Sports is injury.
Wii elbow.
Yeah, Wii elbow. I remember playing like baseball, and I'd get so into it that like I'd pull like my shoulder joint out of like whack and couldn't move my arm the next day. So that was a game that could end very good or very bad.
It's all in the wrist, man. The tennis. It's like, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't like full on swinging the tennis racket. Because I do the full on swing and he'd swing twice. So I'd be like, it's not worth it. So I just use the wrist. I was really good at tennis, actually. So if I was drunk playing tennis, I'd probably do about the same. I'd probably do about the average, actually.
Speaking of that one, I guess I also played Mario Tennis a couple times drunk and Strikers.
Man, Mario Strikers drunk.
Mario Strikers
is good. It was so good. They need to make another one, and they need to have more content than the last one. The last one kind of didn't really have much.
Well, they're bringing back Mario Tennis. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Mario Strikers make a return.
We can only hope.
Yeah, as long as they don't do like another Mario and Sonic at the Olympics.
Yeah, they need to stop making those. No one actually plays those. I only bought Mario and Sonic at the Rio Games for 2012 because they didn't have any other game for the 3DS, and I just bought it, so I wanted to play something else.
What about you, Mark? Do you have any stories with drunk Wii Sports or Strikers or tennis?
No, I didn't really care for Wii Sports. Drunk Mario Strikers, but we don't really play drinking games when we play it. It's just a game you can really play while you're drinking and not really, you know, just socialize, have some fun. Knock back a few.
I never really realized, like, I played a lot of Strikers. I was really good at Strikers. I was playing on the hardest difficulty, which is freaking hard, by the way. Holy, like, especially when you're playing against like someone cheap like Pina Pilata, whatever the plant is. I really like Strikers. It was a lot of fun. And I just liked how you could hit somebody like full on with your shoulder and no one complained about a broken leg or something.
Yeah.
Let's get back on to topic though, because I know Mark has an appointment coming up in a little bit, so we want to finish this off. Another game I played quite a bit drunk would be Halo.
I am a drunk. The grunts are good with the pistol.
Yeah. So I got a story here.
With Halo, is I was always so good at it for the first, say, 3 or 4 beers, then after that. It started going downhill.
So one way to get alcohol poisoning is you take a shot every time you get jackal sniped.
Ooh. Yeah, we're going to try this one, I think, on a live stream.
No, we are not. No, we are not. We're going to die.
No, and it's not going to be like Mike's Hard Root Beer, man. I'm going to get you like a vodka.
You guys are going to do this, and you guys are going to stream you guys trying to beat the level really fast. And if you guys do anything wrong, you guys have to take a shot.
Oh, no. We're going to do it every time we get jackal no scope.
Man, what level is that? Okay, well, it's not
truth,
two.
Truth. Truth and reconciliation.
Oh, truth. Yeah, truth. That's not bad. If we were playing two, we would die.
Regret.
We would really regret that decision really hard because we'd die. Because we would jump out and there's 5 of them and they'd all snipe us at once and that's like a whole bottle of tequila right there.
Oh man, we got to attempt this. Look forward to that. We're going to do a live stream. Halo 2 speed run. Jackal scope.
Drinking. Year. We'll do one. We'll do one for sure because one's actually fun to speedrun. Two's BS.
All right. Another game. Let's do... I only did this a couple times because I don't have very good coordination once I'm drunk. But Drunk Dance Dance Revolution.
I can't do that when I'm drunk. It's impossible.
I can barely do it while I'm sober. I always have to do like the easy setting. So just picture myself like falling flat on my face. Once it's like, oh, left, right, left, right. Okay. Backwards coordination, face first.
Yeah, I'm not at all good at DDR, so not me.
I don't even know why you keep bringing DDR up when none of us are good at it.
No, but it is a game people play when they're drinking. Especially like Ubisoft's new ones for like the Wii U and all that. Dance Party, I think it is. Or Just Dance, I can't remember. One of them.
When are they going to release like a Rock Band DDR karaoke combo where you got to have like people dancing to the beat and people playing the music. That'd be some massive multiplayer stuff going on right
You'd
there.
You'd need a massive room. Like
I know. But no, you don't. You just need whatever instrument you're playing, you get it out, and then you're online.
Yeah, but if you have the dancer in front of you, I just picture like you're on the guitar, and then you're not paying attention. All of a sudden, you see like an elbow coming at you, slow motion.
Yeah, I guess. One thing we got to do is, Mark, you got to come back and fly my on my flight simulator, and I have a whole, for those listening, I have a whole setup, like a throttle and yoke and rudders and autopilot and little things that tell me my altitude stuff. Yeah. I have the whole doodads.
Let's do that one drunk.
Yeah, Mark, you got... I mean, you did really, really bad sober. So, yeah.
It was too much, dude. It's just too much. I'm not a pilot, nor do I know anything about flying a plane. And you're just like, oh, hey, hop on this high-tech simulator and try and fly a plane.
Yeah, but... I mean, I mind you, I have 75 hours of actual flight time, and you have zero.
Yeah, but you also have classes and
yeah.
courses and stuff like that.
But I think you did better. It's considerably better than Alex. Mm-hmm. Alex like did an invert, like she just went inverted and just did freaking rolls.
And yeah, I was surprised because you know, I as bad as I did trying to take off and fly the plane, I almost landed it.
Yeah, you did. You were just a little bit too nose down when you landed, and Alex just like spiraled out of control, and just, she would for sure would have been dead. And you would have lived.
But getting back on the track, drunk karaoke.
Drunk karaoke.
Well, I guess that would also be like Rock Band as well. But you guys have any stories? I remember playing drunk Rock Band.
Well, that's why you go to the bars, dudes, because they got karaoke, and then you sing, and then all the girls are like, oh, he can sing.
No, I've got bad stories there, too, because I remember my buddy took me out for my birthday 2 years ago, and the restaurant he chose, he didn't realize it was karaoke night, and there's, like, just a whole bunch of, like, it was, like, kind of like a biker bar, I guess you could say, because back then I still had my Harley and we'd be riding, so we went there. I just picture a whole bunch of burly bikers singing.
Yeah, I can't do that. It's too hard.
I remember this one guy was doing Celine Dion song with the really high...
The Titanic one?
Yeah, that was... It was horrifying.
My heart will go on.
Yeah, I couldn't even concentrate on my meal.
And a biker was singing that?
Yeah.
A dude?
Yeah.
What?
His high notes needed a lot of work.
He was probably super baritone.
Oh, he was super drunk, too. Yeah. There's some slurring. Oh, man.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up then. Because it's not a drunk party without Mark.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, thanks a lot. Let us know your stories, your drunk stories, and which games you play drunk. And we will maybe stream it, because that sounds like a lot of fun. So, yeah, let us know on our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, any of those. And we'll probably release top 10 here in the next couple of days. Top 10 games to play when you're drunk. It's going to be sweet. All right, guys, thanks a lot. And we'll see you all on the next one. Bye-bye.
Later, guys. Check out our shop.
Oh, yeah, we have a new shirt. We have a new shirt. Check out our shop. It's cute. It's called Spirit of a Gamer. And, yeah. Okay, goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.